Today's episode is brought to you by Tom Perrin Comprehensive Performance Coaching. You can find it at tomperrinconsulting.com. He helps individuals, teams, and organizational leaders optimize talent, ability, and performance. Check it out. We've had him on the podcast. Incredible insight. He knows sport. He knows business. He knows leadership. He can compare across multiple industries. If you need any sort of consulting for your business or for you personally, as if you're, you know, trying to climb the corporate ladder, if you're trying to figure out coaching, balancing time with work and family, all of those things, Tom is incredibly helpful. Reach out to him. Again, that's tomperrinconsulting.com. And this is part of a Locker Room Access doing free advertising for the month of June. We're coming to an end here soon, but if you have any potential advertising needs, just reach out to us. We can continue doing this. We just want to help businesses. I know we're coming out of COVID, but everyone needs an extra boost. So reach out to us. We're always here to help. But again, this episode, tomperrinconsulting.com. Check it out.
I don't even know if we're doing Coach's Corner or just the regular Locker Room Access podcast, but whichever one that is, welcome to it. got Phony Bennett. I'm TW. Got Dougie Fresh Smith over there. Mark Jerome. He's busy doing his camps, so he's out. And our special guest, Trey. What up, Trey Murphy? Recent, now in Chicago, right? You're at the pre-draft camp. We really appreciate you jumping on, joining us, Wahoo Nation. Happy to hear about you making that leap. So let's start there. I mean, we're obviously, that's the big news. How's it going so far, your pre-draft workouts?
It's going really well. Throughout this entire process, I've just really been tightening up my skills and working on a lot of ball handling stuff, as well as just like shooting off the move. And everything's been going along really nicely. And the feedback and the traction that I've been getting has just been picking up a lot recently. That's awesome. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, man. So, you know, this whole process, you know, and it's funny because I look at things from the fan side, and as fans, we always selfishly want you back. You know, we know what you can do for the team next year, you know, but we also look out for your interests. And it's been clear as this process has gone on that you're getting more interest, that folks are saying, okay, yeah, this guy's going to go, he's going to go early. And I think fans recognize it's time for you to go. Now, what point in the process did you know, yeah, it's time for me to do this?
Really, it was probably like 2 weeks into me being down in Miami, and I just saw the work that I was putting in, and I just saw like a different side of myself, and my confidence is just like at a whole nother level right now. And so I was like, yeah, I already know like how this is going to play out, and I'm really confident in myself, so might as well just take the risk now instead of take a risk later, like going back to school. Cause like at the end of the day, like either option would have been a risk. And sure. I just felt really confident in myself with this going forward.
Yeah. I'm in the camp either way. It's good for both parties, right? If you get the feedback that you're going to be a top pick and you leave early, that's great for everybody. And then vice versa, if you're like, all right, I have, there's some stuff I got to work on, I need to go back, that's still great for everybody. As long as, you know, those are the right intentions. I imagine everyone should be, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of people that would be like, oh, you should have just came back to help us. But come on now, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
right. As fans, it's so easy to be selfish and you know, it's like with recruiting, there is so much that goes into that decision that we'll never see and we'll never know yet. We proclaim ourselves as somehow, you know, qualified to make that decision for you. And I'd be better off coming back.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm personally super excited to see another UVA Wahoo in the league, man. It's exciting. But walk us through, we'll take it back a little bit. Your decision to come to UVA. Walk us through that. When you were debating Rice, you're looking at your options. When did like UVA really seriously come into the picture?
Well, really, in all honesty, like when I came on the transfer portal, like I was going to Villanova for like a good like week and a half or so. I was sold on Jay Wright and like the whole 4-1 in offense and like just the way that they played. It was just like really nice. And then like they were putting a lot of wings into the NBA. And I was like, all right, like I'm probably going there. But then as time went on, and I talked to Coach Bennett probably the fourth day out of the transfer portal. And like at first, like I didn't really want to like have any interest in Virginia because they recruited me in high school a little bit, but then stopped because they said I was too small. And so I wanted to spite them a little bit. But I mean, I had to look at it at a more like realistic lens. And I was like, all right, yes, I was 6'5 and like 170 pounds at the time. So yes, I was too small. Wow. But in our first meeting with Coach Bennett, he had like a film session with me. And that was just like almost like a light just clicked for me. And because film is really like my love language when it comes to basketball. And so he just broke down my game and saw like areas where I could improve and help the team as well. And I really liked how he gave me areas of improvement because every single coach I talked to, they were just talking about like all the great things I could do. But like, tell me what I need to work on in order for me to develop. And that's where I started to make that change. And I was like, all right, I really want to do this and go to Virginia.
Where do you think you're able to expand your game at Virginia?
Excuse me, can you say that one more time?
I said, where do you think you were able to expand your game when you were at Virginia?
Oh, defensively, 100% defensively. I mean,
good answer, Trey.
Yeah, 100% defensively. Before I got to Virginia, I mean, I didn't play a lick of defense. I didn't play defense for 19 years of my life. And so it was a little bit of an adjustment coming into it. But at the end of the day, like, once you go to Virginia, you're 100% going to be a better defender. Like, there's no questions about it. And I knew if I wanted to be a more attractive prospect for the NBA, I would have to become a better defender.
So when you did the film sessions with TB, he was watching you film at Rice, or yeah, is or me. Okay.
Yeah, he showed me Rice film, and then he would show Deion clips as well from like the 2019 season.
Cool. Okay, I got it. Yeah, yeah. So I missed the whole first part because another story, Uber Eats. And anyway, I don't buy the fact that you're going to the NBA. I'm mad that you're not at Virginia again. You miss JPJ. I wish the best. I follow your mom on Twitter. She didn't follow me. That's fine. We'll all figure it out. But you know, I'm a Wahoo dude. I'm in and out, Jay Willie, the whole thing, but very happy for you, my man.
I appreciate it.
Your mom actually follows me.
Oh wow. That's tough. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
we're gonna make that change real quick. One text and we'll end that. So then, when you got to UVA, you talked about the defensive play. What was it actually, the adjustment wise? Like you said, you hadn't played defense like that. What was it that actually did? That was the change.
The first practice, you know, like this is during COVID times, and this is like during like the heart of COVID, where there are a whole lot of cases, and so everybody's really sensitive about how we're practicing, and so we're doing like practices, and like one guy's at each basket. In the first one, we literally started doing defensive drills. And I was like, oh, wow, they're like really serious about this.
You're like, it's real.
It's real. Like I'm sliding across the arc, like the 3-point arc. And I'm like, yo, like we're actually like playing defense on the first day of like practice. This is even practice. This is like a workout. Like it just was so uncommon to me. And then like when we started playing like live stuff and we're doing closeouts and I'm getting yelled at for like not having a high hand. I was like, all right, like I can't keep getting yelled at because I'm tired of hearing Jay Will's voice because he's, you know,
I've heard about those closeout drills before.
Man, right. You're like Villanova and other people offer me Escalades. Now I'm getting screamed at for not being able to slide. Like, come on, man. I'm going to tell you, so Trey, just so you know where we're coming from, we covered every game this year. We did pregame, halftime, postgame.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're nice. We love all our guys, whatever. We're, you know, the thing you said, slides, that's what I noticed in you on defense, that you improved the most from game one to game whatever, is you learned how to slide.
No, 100%. Give me one second. I mean, I just felt like a much better defender. And like, I also like slid at a different level. Like the first game I think I did solid defensively. I mean, we didn't really play like a high caliber team. But then like the second game, like, I just felt like weird. Like, and I just felt like I wasn't like a great defender. And then, but then like by the end of the season, I just felt like I could lock up anybody really.
Yeah.
I wish the JPJ fans had gotten to know you better. Like that's my great regret. You didn't get to experience a full JPJ. Are you going to come back for that experience and at least, you know, be there courtside for it?
100%. No, I'm definitely coming back to Charlottesville because, I mean, that was a home for me. And I love that place so much. Like in that little year that I had, even during like the COVID time, they showed me so much love there. And I really appreciate that fan base and that community. So I'm going to definitely be back for a game. I'm going to try to make it to a few games, but I mean, you know, if my schedule permits.
Right.
I'll see what I can do. All-star break. There's usually a game in there, but hopefully you'll be in the
sophomore
game. So, yeah.
What'd you say?
T-Dub's assuming you're not going to be in the All-Star game, which
I see. That's crazy right now.
Yeah. No. There's a rookie sophomore game and the All-Star game. So you got three-point shootout. I mean, you can be in any of that.
A dunk contest. I know you're saying.
You can be in anything.
Yeah, I've been doing a few more dunks now.
I know. Those last IG posts, your head's above the rim, man. That's crazy.
I'm not sliding. Right. That's a real
Trey, so your first year of college to last year, you went from 6'5" to 6'9"?
Yes, sir.
But you had no awkward stages, right?
I did. I'm not gonna say
as a college student, yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely Bambi at times. I mean, I had a Bambi moment this year. I don't know if y'all remember, but like we played UNC and I like got a deflection and literally fell. I don't know how I fell. And like my dad laughed about it for at least a good week, and I was like, "Bro, please just leave me alone."
I
told a friend of mine today that we were going to be talking to you, and he wanted me to ask you why didn't you shoot more this year. And so before you answer that question, so I went back and I looked at Kenpom. I was like, "Did he not shoot a lot? Your usage, your shot when you were on the floor, you were seventh most on the team as far as shots taken when you were on the floor, but you had the second highest effective field goal percentage. So what was keeping you from shooting more? Was it the system? Were you limiting yourself? Tell us about it.
You guys toned it back or didn't? Was that something you thought about, or is that just something that, you know, kind of the season went on? And
I mean, I feel like that's how it worked. Different people had different level of like aggression and like maybe like just different levels of like thinking like what is a good shot and what isn't a good shot. And so I think that could be like attributed to it. But I mean, really, I was just like, really, in all honesty, all I wanted to do was win. And I went there so I could win championships. And if I felt like the best way to win was by making sure everybody is involved, then that's what I was going to do. And I know what Coach Bennett's plans were. I know he wanted to get a good shot every time. And so I try to stay away from like taking bad shots sometimes.
Was there a welcome to the ACC moment for you? Like, you know, moving up to that level from Rice, I imagine there's a little bit of a difference. I mean, now the parity is pretty much there, but was there a moment where you're like, oh, this is different than where I was coming from?
Elder Barge.
I didn't really have like a specific moment, but like the only different moment was probably Florida State. And I saw them and I was like, yo, they're like a really big team.
And really big, yeah.
It was just like, okay, this is a little bit different against guys at Rice.
And walk us through big moments. I'm thinking throughout the year that the Gonzaga game is obviously one. What were your emotions for that game? Were you guys, you know, amped up, ready for that? How did you feel that was going into that game?
Well, so we found out like right after our Michigan State game was canceled, and they also canceled our Villanova game right after that. And so we got on a Zoom call. He was like, look, we're gonna have to cancel our Villanova game, but we picked up another game. And he said, we're gonna play Gonzaga. And like everybody was just like, yo, like everybody was super excited. I ended up calling like my roommate Justin McCoy at the time. I walked into his room. I was like, yo, like we're about to play Gonzaga. Like I was like super hyped. Everybody was really excited for the game because, I mean, that's what we come here to do. Like we come here to play the best competition, and like it's fun, the best competition. And everybody was really excited, but I just feel like that like the first like 4 minutes or so and like first like 6 minutes, people just didn't play. Like they just played kind of scared in a way. Like we all like saw them and like had like saw them running up and down the court and like shooting threes and playing like super comfortable. And like we just didn't play like we needed to play in order to like keep the game competitive and also win the game. So
yeah, they set the tone. You guys didn't really have a chance to set the tone the way the game we played, right? Does that make sense?
Not 100%.
They're like, here's how it's gonna go. So
if we're going just down the Gonzaga route for a minute, what were your thoughts on them during the tournament? Did you watch them play? Were you like thinking they were gonna win it or no?
I mean, no, because I mean, in my eyes, I was thinking we were gonna beat them when we saw them in the Sweet 16, but I mean, obviously, it didn't work out that way. But I mean, I felt like it was gonna be tough if they saw Baylor. I always said, like, especially after that Final Four game that Baylor played against Houston, I said if Baylor plays like this tomorrow night, it might be a blowout, and they really
did it.
So you're not a Texas boy. I know you're a Carolina boy, but you played in Texas. Did you know about, you know, Baylor and Houston being at Rice? Did you know, were you intimate a little bit with those schools, or we might not be following them more?
Yeah, Houston was our rival actually at Rice.
Okay.
So we played them every year. We played them at Texas Southern my first year because they didn't have their gym finished. And then we played them at Rice my sophomore year. And that game still hurts me to this day, because I came out like the first 4 minutes and I like had 8 quick points. I was hooping. And then literally, as soon as I came out of the timeout, I like jump stop and landed like ankle touched the floor. And I like really sprained my ankle bad. And I like, I couldn't even feel like my foot felt like it was dislocated from my leg.
Oh, wow.
And so I tried to play the entire game on it, but it just wasn't the same. And we ended up going up like 16 at half, and then we ended up losing the game. And that game still like hurts me to this day.
That's crazy. So let's go through that for a minute. We didn't even talk about Mike Curtis. What was the difference for you in terms of strength training and that? Was there a big difference between Rice and UVA?
Yeah, no, there definitely was. I mean, Mike Curtis, when I tell you he's the best, like I've seen many straight coaches and nobody really compares to him. And
isn't that crazy?
He worked on a lot of stability, a lot of mobility stuff. And I just became like such a more fluid athlete once I got there. And then I gained weight as well, and it was good weight. And so I was really, really excited, and I felt really strong. And I really love that dude, man. I really do.
Well, so was it a combination of strength and nutrition and all of that at UVA that's more of a focus, or is that a fair statement? When you come to UVA, all of that comes together as a package.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just different resources. Like, you're coming from Rice where you're sharing the weight room with 15 different teams, and then you go to Virginia and you're only sharing the weight room with the girls basketball team, and you barely even see them. So it's just a big difference. And
I heard at Rice, the physics team actually has access to the weight room when you're working out.
I might have seen one of them in there, in all honesty.
A couple of engineers, maybe. With great school. For sure. I'm not busting on Rice. Great, great school.
So then
how you doing, Mr. Jerome?
There, Mark. What's up? Mark just joined. Mark Jerome.
Mr. Jerome.
Trey, what's happening? Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
So it's such an exciting time.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you.
Damn, Train, call me, sir. Making fun of my Wi-Fi, Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
I have tons of questions after going through the process, but what was it that what was the determining factor or factors for you to jump to make the early transition?
Really, it was just the confidence that I had in myself, and I feel like I was really ready to make this jump. And I mean, I made it like an informed decision. Like, I have a range. Like, there's like a few people that have like a range on where I am, and I'm really comfortable with that range, and they feel like I can only rise within this time. And so I just really felt confident about myself, and I was ready to embark this journey on becoming a professional basketball player.
So again, so many questions, and I don't mean, if I ask something that you're not ready to answer, just by all means, just say, or you can be vague. But at what point did agents start reaching out to you? You were about to redshirt, to all of a sudden being thrust into the starting lineup
and
having a really good season. And then next thing you know, you're like going from going to entering the draft.
Yeah, no, it came by very quickly. And I will say Ty was a big piece in all of this, I must say.
Don't get Ty in trouble.
I'm not going to get in trouble.
All the fans are going to be mad at him.
No, he's the one that told me. He was like, we talked, like, because he came to one of my workouts with Damon. And he was like, bro, what are you doing? I was like, I'm redshirting this year. Like, what you mean, what am I doing? He was like, you need to play. Like, you don't need to worry about that right now. And I was like, all right, whatever. And, like, as time went on in practice, I was, like, hooping and doing well. And so he was really the main, like, person that was like, all right, you need to play. But, I mean, back to your other question, though, like, agents were talking to my dad back, like, November, December. But, like, he never told me because he wanted me to focus on the season, which, I mean, I respect that for sure. But, I mean, it would have been cool to know, oh, wow, there's some agents, like, trying to talk to you and stuff like that. But, like, they started talking to me on Instagram, like the little, like the smaller agents, but I had never responded to them.
Right. Right. No, I felt the same way. Like I didn't want to distract Ty. When you started, at what point did you start seeing your name on the draft boards?
I mean, after the first Towson game, I saw it on one draft board at like 25. And I was like, oh, wow, that's like really dope. Like, that's crazy. And then after that, I didn't see it for a while. I wasn't playing at the same caliber as the Towson game. And I was like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. And then after that Syracuse game at home, I had like 16-8 and I like defended it pretty well. I started seeing a little bit more buzz coming along. And that's when like I was hearing more agent talk in a sense. And I was starting to realize this is really like coming true.
And so when you saw your name on the draft boards, did that impact you in any way, positively, negatively? Could it be was it a distraction at all?
And honestly, no. Because, I mean, like, yeah, it's cool to see your name up there. But, I mean, ESPN isn't picking me. Like, they're not the GMs. So, I mean, it's cool to have them, like, recognize me. But at the end of the day, like, a GM isn't going to look at the ESPN mock draft and be like, all right, he's at 30. So, since we're at 30, we're going to pick him at 30. That's just not how it works. So.
When you sat down with your parents – to determine this, what did they encourage you to take the leap? Did they say that they want you to stay?
Oh no, they told me. I mean, they gave their opinion on like they gave the pros and cons for each situation, but they always left it up to me to make the decision because that's how they did it for my transfer and like me picking my school, my first school. They always wanted me to feel comfortable with my own decisions because they don't want me to go back later and be like, oh, well, you told me to go back or you told me to go to the NBA. And they're like, no, you can't put that on me. This is your decision. So I respect them a lot for that because I know how hard it is. Like when, like if a parent is telling you one thing, you really want to do something else. It's hard to go against that.
But let's go to the source. What did grandma say?
Grandma was just happy with me. Happy with whatever I did.
I think grandma was pushing the NBA. I'm going to talk to grandma about Charlottesville.
You can talk to grandma about it.
I think she was pushing you. Nah, I know, Trey. I'm kidding.
No, that tweet had a little bit of rumbles in the family.
Grandmas are the best, dude. That's the best.
Hey, I don't want to monopolize, but I want to go one more and then I'll let everybody else get at you and then I'll come back later. How did you pick your agent? And who did you pick?
Well, I went through like a little bit of an agent process and my dad, he like weeded out a bunch of guys that he felt were like really shiesty. And like me and my dad, we had like, a really good like connection. So like I was all right with that. And like we went off to, like a few candidates and like we met with them, like they came to our house and all that. And I got to like sit down and they gave me a little presentation and all that. And basically I just went off feel and like trust because that's how I've gone off of all of my decisions. And I really trusted Sean Kennedy to be my agent. And so that's why I was just like, it was a good move for me.
Did any other presentations start with McDonald's, Microsoft, Trey Murphy? No.
And I'm glad they did.
It's from Entourage. I always dreamed of seeing one of those. But anyway.
we sat down with Sean a few times, several times, and really good guys.
Very
big time agency. So, and those guys are not going to recruit you if they really don't believe you're going to be at that next level. That's not who Excel is.
No, 100%.
Right. I mean, that's a big time company. That's one of the biggest, I would say five biggest agencies, if not top three.
Yeah, I think it's top three.
Yeah,
I think it's
top three. With Jeff Schwartz. Yeah. That's big time.
So you approved, congrats. Mark? Is that a good decision?
Oh yeah. No, they were, I sat down with them with Excel in high school, when I was in high school, and they called me in. Oh, through a mutual friend. It wasn't Sean. I'm like, what am I doing here? I didn't know if he was going to like try to offer me a job or what he was trying. I had no idea. He started asking questions about Ty. And I was like, what? What are you talking about Ty for? Right. But then later on, it turned out, like, I went back to the same office and sat down with those guys. Just they're, you know, it's hard. The agency business is so freaking hard. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculously hard. There's so many more agents than there are players. So everybody's scrambling to fight for that kid that's going to make it. Yeah. Right. And, but you only, you know, there are a lot of hustlers, right? There are a lot of dudes out there that say that they're in tight with the GMs and know what's going on. And one of the calls I got was ridiculous.
I'd like to hear the pitch. What are they? I would just go to the agent that offers me the biggest loan.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, you're 100 grand, then, Alexis. That's me.
That's the worst. No, I'm gonna come back to that. We can talk about that. But his agency, is, you know, good dudes. But there was one guy that said, "Hey, what can you tell me about your son?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, what are his assets? What, you know, what does he do well?" I was like, "Have you seen him play?" He's like, "No," but I just.
Oh wow!
Like, okay, oh wow! So yeah. I'm sure I'd love to hear your stories with your dad. We got to exchange war stories. No, that's. But Sean, is it just Sean or is it?
It's just Sean.
Okay, cool.
I mean, Jeff will interfere. Well, Mr. Schwartz will interfere sometimes as well.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's awesome. That's so great. Just good dudes from New York.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right down the street. And Kyle Guy's also with Excel.
Yeah, he's with
not with Sean, but yeah.
He was Jordan Gerler.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
P-Dub, can we get to some questions from the forums?
Sure. I can jump in. Yeah. I got him right in front of me. All right. So this is from H Trailer. First off, congrats. Second, in the feedback from workouts, what has been given in terms of strengths and biggest challenges?
I mean, obvious, like the shooting, everybody says is a plus. The athleticism and the defensive feel. And then IQ, and then also like underrated, but like being a good person and like being like a high character person, like they really look into that stuff. And so those are the obvious strengths. They said there's different ball handling problems as well, but at the end of the day, like, I mean, that's fine that they say that. I mean, I would like them to have low expectations for my ball handling, and then, you know, just overachieve in those promises in those areas. So. But those are the main things, really. Overall, everybody's like they have an intrigue, I would say, in the way that I play and my game.
We'll do another one. Who and True, what helped you with your mental health and well-being during this COVID season? Is there anything you did different?
I met with Dr. Friedman a few times, the sports psychologist. He was actually a doctor at UVA. And we talked about, you know, different mental health things. And also, really, I used to be a psych major. And so I am like really big into like being like into sports psychology, as well as just being within yourself and making sure you're taking care of your mental, because it's so important. And I try to stay like really even keel and don't stress out about anything, because I know how strong your mind is and how powerful it can influence you. And so if you don't use it in the right way, then you can go down a really bad path.
All right. Next, favorite memory from UVA.
100%. The locker room after the Louisville game. That was one of the best moments. And then also right after the game, when I got to hug Coach Bennett, that was a really special moment. And then when we got to the locker room, me and Sam hugged, and we were talking about, like, this is what we came here for. And it was just looking really nice, like, going into the ACC tournament. We were just really on a high at that point.
Yeah, let's go through that for a minute. We talked about this before you jumped on. ACC tournament, you guys are playing well. Reese hits the game winner walk off, and then walk us through the next little stretch there. After that game, you guys are celebrating, you're preparing.
So literally, yeah. So he hits the three around like 3-4 o'clock, and we're all in the we're all on the bus, just like in a great mood. We're like looking at like all on Instagram, like Reese is all over Instagram. It's really, really good moment. And then it gets around like 6 o'clock, and like our game is gonna be in like 24 hours, like a little bit less. Like, what's wrong? And then we get a text around like 7-8 o'clock, and it's like meet in the meeting room. And we're in the meeting room, and there are a bunch of chairs set up like really far apart from each other. And we're like, yo, like, what is happening right now? And they were saying, yeah, like right now we're going through tests for Justin, and we think he tested positive for COVID. And so we're just like all devastated. And like at that moment, we were like, we really think our season's about to end because the NCAA tournament's in a week.
Yeah.
And we just got a COVID pause. There's no way we can play. And so everybody's just devastated. Like the ride back home, like you could literally hear like a rat peeing in the corner. Like it was so quiet. It was bad. And I was just sick to my stomach. So that one hurt. The ACC tournament hurt because I talked to Moses Wright today, actually. And I told him, I was like, yo, you understand, like if we have a COVID pause, like we was going to get y'all again. And like, and he was laughing about it, talking about like, man, you know, you weren't beating us three times in a year. I said, I promise you, we were going to beat y'all. We didn't even play well against Syracuse. And we still won. And we were about to just have a great game against them. And then we're going to see Florida State again. It was just a dream that turned to a nightmare.
Hey, how much do you think that layoff affected the NCAA performance?
It definitely did. I mean, it's tough because, you know, you get rest and like you feel a little bit more fresh, but the rhythm that you lose in those days where you're resting is tough, especially playing a team like Ohio, where that's kind of like our kryptonite, the way they play, like the pick and pop five man or four man. Those are the teams that really hurt us in the past, especially with a crafty point guard. And so like that practice that we went against scout team and they ran Ohio's offense, we were in there like, yo, like, what is happening right now? And like, everybody's just off and like the conditioning is like a little off. And so like, we went in there and we were just like, look, we're just gonna have to play as hard as we can and just hope we can like get a shot at this because, you know, we got dealt a very unfortunate hand, but we still had a chance to play. And that's all we were thankful for.
Yeah, I was so happy you guys got to play because, I mean, we did like an emergency pod when it was announced that Virginia was pulling out of the ACC tournament. We all thought the season was over. I mean, we didn't think there'd be another game.
Yeah, we do
important shit over here, Trey. Emergency pods.
Emergency.
You know what I'm saying?
After what we were doing to talk about you guys.
No, for sure. Yeah, we love it.
What was the planning and preparation like? Because you guys came out of the pause, and how much actual time did you have to get ready for that game?
Yeah, for sure.
We had like two good practices, and we had like a film session like before those practices. Like we watched a lot of film on them, and we got to see like their style of play and all that. But I mean, we still practiced a little bit, but it wasn't.
Right.
To the extent like we're like it's a whole week of prep.
Yeah.
And then like once we got there, we had to test and then quarantine and then we had to get up at 1 a.m. I want to say and test again. And then get up for breakfast. Like I'm not trying to make any excuses, but that's tough. Like it's really tough.
No, it's just more stuff you have to deal with in an already intense situation that seems.
It's also a mental clock, right? You know you go to bed at 11 or whatever, and you know you're waking up at 1, so you're not really asleep because you're waiting for Ethan to pat you on the back and say, get up.
Yeah. Literally, I went to bed and woke up at 1, and for some reason, everybody, I guess they didn't go to sleep or something like that. Everybody was like so like giddy and like, I'm looking at them like grumpy because I just woke up out of my just nap.
Sleep.
And it was just bad.
Yep.
So walk us through that actual game, though, a little bit. So – they go the Ohio game itself, like getting ready for that game. You guys are coming in NCAA tournament. Did you have some nerves? Like, how are you feeling to start that game?
And all, like, really, like, in my college games, I didn't really get, like, nervous like that. I just, like, you would feel like a little butterfly, but it wasn't, like, anything nervous like my first few games of college basketball. But, yeah, like, in the NCAA tournament, like, I looked up, like, I walked out and just looked up at, like, all, like, the fans that were there. And then, like, just, like, Indiana is, like, the Assembly Hall is a great gym. And it's one of the best gyms in America. And so, just
loud.
Super loud. I mean, it even got loud there, and it was probably like 1,000 or 2,000 fans max. And so it was pretty cool. But once the jump ball happened, I mean, the nervousness went away, and it was just like time to go. And like going through like the first half, like I felt pretty solid about where we were at. I mean, they were still sticking around a little bit, and I didn't like that as much. And then once we came out, the first 4 minutes, if I can remember correctly, I think they went on a little run, or we went on a run, and then like the 8 minute mark or something like that, they just went on like an 11-3 run. And so
that's, yeah, y'all had a drought.
Yeah, we had a really big drought. We, like, nobody could hit a thing. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's when Ben Vanderplas, he went on an 8-0 run like by himself, and that one really hurt. And then one play that I wish I could get back was definitely one of those last plays. We were down like 2 or so, and Vanderplas he popped out to the wing, and I was like the bottom guy, and I tried to go stunt at him, but Sam was already recovered back, and as soon as I stunted, my man went back door. I laid it up, and they went up 4 with like a minute and like 5 or like minute and 15 left. And that was a tough one, because if we get a stop there and then we get a score, then it's a different ball game. And that one I kicked myself still about.
Can I ask a question, Trey, about your team last year? So you had Sam, who was, you know, could have been the ACC player of the year, probably should have been, but he's new. You know, you're new. Reese is new. Who am I missing? The sort of the, I felt like, as an old head, you know, I played in 1950, as you know, but it wasn't, I'm not going to say the word leadership. It's a tricky word. But there, it didn't seem like anybody was willing to say, let's go, like, take over. Does that make any sense? Like, who was the leader of the team, or who was trying to be, or who didn't think they could be? Did you think you couldn't be because you're new?
No, that type of thing. I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like, there was things like they brought up at like the beginning of the year, there was like different players from each year. That was that little prodder and poke, like the one that would like poke the team, like get them going. And like at first, like it was Coach Bennett doing that. And
right,
if it's the coach doing it, it's not going to be the same team. Like right. Each team had one, like the Isaiah Williams, like the Anthony Gill, even Ty, you know, he would talk trash to his teammates and stuff like that and get them going. Yep. And we didn't really have that this year. And I feel like that's the one piece that we missed that could have cost us games, really.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Was COVID a part of that? Because you guys couldn't really hang out like that, like a normal student athlete would any other year, where you guys can go out and do stuff together and be a part of the community. You couldn't do that.
I actually say it's different, because we couldn't hang out with anybody else but our team. Okay. So, I saw them a little too much sometimes. And so, we were really close though. I love that's one of my favorite teams. Like, that core group of guys was really.
That's cool. You won't forget it, man.
Never will.
But also, we talked about this the whole season. You had no outlet, right? Like, you play basketball, you practice, you do school, I guess on Zoom. But you couldn't go to, like, Rugby Road. You couldn't go to the student union, Newcomb Hall crawl, like we used to get down with. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. You lose, you win. Or how about even better? You win and you have 20 or whatever. Next day on school, come on, man. You're walking around grounds, and it's, you know, you feel good. You couldn't get that.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah, because at Rice, like, Rice wasn't really a social school. Like, it wasn't a lot of fun, I will say that. But, I mean, that is academic stuff. But, I mean, UVA, like, just, like, I watched, like, the street after the national championship game, like, the corner area. Oh, my goodness, man. That's
crazy.
That's a crazy feeling. Like, going back to something like that. Or just even something as simple as beating Duke, like Kia's sophomore year, and they went to like some place, and they said people were just showing them so much love, and that's just a great feeling. I mean, exactly. Even just having a gym packed, that's like another like social aspect that I missed a lot, because I mean, basketball is an entertainment sport at the end of the day, and me going through the lane and dunking on somebody and then like being able to like hype up the crowd like that. That's just,
all that was gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And by the way, Trey, I'm not trying to be mean, but beating Duke is not simple.
No, no, definitely.
I'm kidding.
I mean, sure, we didn't beat the Mitchell's. I mean, I'm definitely not going to say it. No, I mean it in a way.
I get
it's
it.
Not on the team as national championship.
I'm just being mean, dude.
So we had one other question. How good is Kihei at Warzone? See, is it unreal?
If you play a game 20 out of 24 hours in a day, you should be very good. So, I mean, if you're not good at it, if you play it for 20 hours a day, yes, you should be good. So that answers your question. That's the answer right there.
And that's why I don't play those games, because everyone is playing way more than me.
I played one time. I ran around for 30 minutes, and then I got to like the final circle, and I got killed so quickly. As soon as I saw somebody, I was like, I'm never playing this again. I just waited 30 minutes.
It's tough.
Never.
That's funny.
Yeah, the sweats.
Yes.
All right. So let's go through this. Your workout schedule recently. How has that been since leaving Charlottesville? You go on this routine. How has that been? Like, is it? You said you did some time in Miami. Where have you been headquarters?
Miami is my headquarters, but I mean, as soon as like I took a week off after the season. And I started doing 3 workouts a day after that. Like, I work out at, when I was at home, I would work out at like 7 in the morning and then leave, go back home, do whatever I had to do, like school wise or eat, and then go back to the gym later and lift and then shoot again. And I was doing that for a good, like, good solid two weeks. And then when I got to Miami, it was like the same schedule, but like an hour behind. So I got a little bit more sleep. And so I just been on like a pretty regimented schedule of working out like 2 to 3 times a day.
Who gives you, your schedule, or is it you, your dad, your mom, whatever?
Well, when I was at home, it was my schedule. Like, that's just what I was going to do. And I was,
yeah, but I mean, no,
but now it was with like the agency, like, cause we all work out, all the guys are
okay.
This draft class.
Are you up in New York now?
No, we're in Miami for this pre-draft.
And that's where XL is holding their workouts.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, because I know typically they're in New York.
Yeah, they're normally in Westchester.
Right, exactly, which is just 25 minutes or 20. I think they're about 30 minutes from the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with your workout schedule, how often are you guys getting in the – so you said you're in there for about an hour? I'm sorry, 2 hours?
First workout is going to be like an hour 15 to like an hour 30, and then like the lift is an hour. And then the shooting after that is going to be like an hour 15.
And then are you flying to cities to work out with teams right now?
Yes. Like, when I get back, I'm probably going to have like a few days off. And then after that, I'm ripping and running. I'm ripping up the road.
Have you started that process yet?
Yeah, I actually had 2 workouts earlier before the combine as well.
Who'd you work out with so far?
San Antonio and Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how do you think they went?
The San Antonio one was my first one, and I think I did. I mean, I thought I didn't do great, really. I mean, I got good feedback from them, but my Boston one I really did well in, and also got good feedback from them. So those are 2 solid workouts.
Are they doing 3-on-3? 6 yeah, guys?
The extent of every single NBA workout is just going to be like, they're going to do some shooting, some 3-on-3. They might do 1-on-1 and then like some conditioning. And that's literally it. And it's not like super hard or anything like that. But I mean, they're going to test your wind a little bit.
Who was in your workout in San Antonio with you?
Actually, almost like the same people that are in my Boston workout. But it was JT Thor, Joe Wies Camp. Who else? Yves Pons, Ethan Thompson. And then there's this other like – old white guy. I think his name's like Sam Hauser or something like that. I think he was in my San Antonio.
That was great. He was also
in my San Antonio workout.
Where's oh, wow. Leaky Black? Where's Leaky Black at?
Yeah, UNC.
I know. We love that guy. He's a
So wait a minute. Let's go back to the workout with you and Sam. Yeah. Did you guys guard each other?
We did for the first game, and they were like, hold up, they went to college together. Like, please put them on separate teams.
Yes.
Like this, or put them, like, make them guard somebody else.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you didn't dunk on Sam? You can tell us.
In all honesty, I dunked on a lot of people in practice. Sam was the one I did not get because, like, he would hack me, like, really hard.
Crafty veteran. Crafty vet.
Very.
All right. And how do you think Sam did in the workouts?
He did well. Now, he's been shooting the cover off the ball like usual. I mean, that's Sam. And I mean, yeah. I really hope he gets his chance.
Awesome.
All right. So we got one more question. Paperboy, how do you see your game developing in the NBA?
Well, in all honesty, I feel like I could really be like a good, like a starter by, I don't know, like third, like even like second, third, fourth, fifth season, something like that. And once I first get there, obviously I'm gonna have like a small role of just parking myself in the corner, catching and shooting, attacking closeouts, being able to defend 1 through 4, being a high IQ player, and like having some creation in there. And as I like show I can be sufficient in that role, then I'll be able to expand on it a little bit more, maybe get into more pick and rolls and do a little bit more off the dribble. But I mean, you know, you got to find your niche. Like, I've learned that you got to really find your niche when you're in the NBA, because if you try to be something you're not, you won't last long. You just won't.
And have you been watching these playoffs with sort of a different eye now that you're involved in this? How is that going for you?
I'm just looking at all the people that are, like, really succeeding and, like, striving. I'm just like, I can do what they're doing. Like, Mikal Bridges, like, looking at him play, I'm like, I don't see how I can't do what he's doing right now. And he's about to get paid this summer. So, I mean, it's really exciting for me. I can't lie. It's really, really nice.
You see Terrence Mann the other night?
Yeah, exactly. He's hooping. And, like, maybe, like, they were leaving him open, though. But he still had to hit the shot.
No, and he was G League. He was a G League combine, and then he got called up to the – right.
Did you hear his story about
where his battery almost died? And
yeah. And as soon as the call ended, his phone died. Like, that's
amazing, crazy. Absolutely amazing.
He got a call up. Is that what?
Yeah, he was getting a call up, but he was already at the airport from the G League combine. So his phone was at 1%, and he decided to pick it up.
Oh wow!
And they were like, "Hey, where are you? You need to come back. You got invited to the NBA combine." So he turned around and left, but his phone died at the end of that call.
Wow.
And then
great story.
Yeah, incredible story.
So, Trey, you're kind of an analytics guy, right?
Yeah, somewhat.
You see, like you're saying, like, look at guys and how they play and what I can do and where it fits in. It makes sense, man, the way the game is now.
No, exactly.
You know? Unless you're a guy like me that can just do everything, you got to really find, like, what you can figure out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, I got to get to just that as first before I get – so, like, it doesn't matter for all the classes.
Exactly.
So what are your plans in analytics, man? Don't let him fool you. Fresh does not
He's not a believer in Ken Tom. What about your draft night plan? Have you thought that far ahead? Are you going to do anything with your family or anything for the draft?
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead. I mean, it just depends on, like, how everything plays out. But, I mean, I have ideas in mind, but – I'm gonna try to live in the moment for now, so I don't get too excited about anything.
All right, Trey, I've got a question for you, and it's, you know, because I look at things from a fan standpoint, and watching the fans on Twitter, which are just a subset of UVA fans, I recognize. This year during the regular season, UVA won the regular season, which is fantastic. Everyone should be happy. The general consensus among fans was that this was an underperforming team versus either what they were capable of, what they were expected. Do you guys, were you tuned in to, like, fan perception of the team? Did you guys feel like you should have won more regular season games?
I wanted to win every single game, definitely. But at the end of the day, you got to realize, like, we have off nights. There's times where, like, we're coming off of, like, just not having a lot of rhythm. Like, this is the hardest season, like, I've ever been a part of because of the rhythm, and I can't get in and get extra shots like I really want to because the gym is closed because of COVID regulations. Like, it's tough. And I'm never one to make excuses. I really, you just have to be realistic and just realize, like, what we're dealing with right now. And, like, I understand every team is dealing with that, but
yep.
Is still, like, really hard, and I still commend our team for what we had to go through this year, because we made a lot of sacrifices that a lot of people just don't even know.
Absolutely. You guys, you won the regular season. You didn't lose a game in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, and right.
Obviously things were impacted for the NCAA tournament. I think as fans, we've gotten very spoiled, but this was once again a special group of players, and I wish we could have seen you guys play a little bit more this year and play under more normal circumstances. That would have been fun.
Definitely. I feel like JPJ would have loved that team a lot.
Yeah, that's the one thing that sucks. You're one of the few that didn't get to see JPJ at all, really, like in full form. So you
have
to come back for that.
That sucks. Oh,
definitely will.
And then Mark, anything else?
No, I just best of luck. Best of luck with the rest of the workouts. Best of luck with the draft. We're all going to be pulling for you.
Yeah, we're all cheering for you. Actually, I have one more question. Jay Huff.
I have a lot of questions, by the way.
Jay Huff, have you seen him in any of these workouts? And how is he doing?
Not in the workouts, but actually I saw him today at breakfast in passing. And I was just talking to him. I was like, dang, like, what's this old fart doing here? And, just jabbing at Jay, just regular stuff. But, I mean, he's doing fine. Hitting shots like normal, and
who's his agent, Trey?
I don't know for sure. Yeah, I didn't ask him who his agent was. I forgot.
Okay, awesome.
Cool, man.
We'll have to get him on.
You want to ask your famous question?
I do, but I'm gonna ask one first. Who's the UVA player that still plays at UVA that didn't transfer or whatever that everybody sleeps on that you see in practice that maybe fans sleep on or don't know about or whatever. Maybe they were injured, maybe whatever. You tell me.
I feel like people didn't appreciate Reese Beekman the way that they need to appreciate Reese
Beekman. Oh, not me. I'm the Reese Beekman fan.
If you have a basketball eye and like really like no basketball, you understand like how important Reese Beekman was to this team.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And his feel for the game was like just insane. Like the first week of practice, I was like, yo, like this dude is like really good. Because I mean, I didn't Reese at all. Like, he was a high school kid, and I was training. And I mean, I didn't really pay attention to high school kids like that, but I was like, no, this dude's feel for a game is crazy. And then, like, he was guarding the best player almost every time.
And yeah, those arms, getting his hands in the lane.
You weren't scoring on him.
I'm going to defend the fans here, because I think the fans appreciated Reese. I think that despite the fact that he didn't contribute a lot offensively, the fans recognized this is why this guy is in the game, and defense is what we celebrate here.
I think so too, but I didn't think like it was too late though. Like, I feel like they started appreciating him. Like, what game was that? It was like midway through ACC, and Reese was doing this since like the fourth game of the year, like third or fourth game of the year.
Right. Same thing. So
I just didn't think he got his flowers at some points, but I feel like Reese was like he was really special. Very special.
Boy. All right, TW, I can do my question. Or no?
This is gonna be rough. I'm jumping off. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you next year at some games.
All right, I was gonna ask for a Kihei story. Everybody was all we were huge Kihei supporters here. Can you give us a Kihei story in terms of like his in practice or anything, not on the sticks?
Yeah, let's see. I have so many Kihei stories, it's not even funny. So I'm trying to think of a good one though. Okay, this one kind of like involves Jabri as well. And so so basically it's me, Kihei, and Jabri, and we just came back from Chipotle, and we're about to go to practice. And it's pouring down raining, like raining cats and dogs. And so me, Kihei, and Jabri were just looking outside, like, dang, like we gotta run out here to this like door and make it. And so as soon as like Jabri gets out the car, he's like, all right, let's get this money. And he runs out, he's holding his bag of Chipotle like this. And so the bottom of his bag is wet. And like Chipotle falls out, hits his knee, and lands on the ground. He like runs past it and then turns around and then just puts his head down and starts walking towards Chipotle because it's all on the ground. Oh, no. He and Kihei cried laughing for 30 minutes straight. because this man Jabri was so sick. Me and Kay, we were just like, we were eating our food and we look at Jabri like, they like, you just order like chips and a drink from Chipotle because that's the only thing that survived. And me, because you know how Kay is, he's like gonna jab and like make fun of you for like the worst stuff
at the time.
And so me and him were laughing about that. So like, there is so many laughs with me and Kia. And then like,
that's cool. Know,
there's so many Boo-Ray stories. It's just hilarious. But no, I miss that. I miss that dude, man. I miss that little dude.
That's awesome. All right, Fresh, you want to do it?
Yeah, Trey, this is a tough one for you. So every podcast guest we get, it's my question. It's your answer. The Mount Rushmore of Virginia basketball.
Okay.
So you're a Tobacco Road boy, Texas, and then you did your year of Virginia. Now you're leaving me, which I don't appreciate. But who's your? We'll give you the five top players ever, Virginia, and you can say anybody. It doesn't matter. The your best, criteria. The coolest, the funniest. Your criteria. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So three automatics. This is Ralph, Malcolm, and Dawn Staley. Those are the three automatic.
All right. Oh, Trace.
Yeah, I know. Ain't nobody said Dawn Staley before.
Well people have, and you get bonus points for being
for me, Trace.
Dawn Staley, man. That's big time. Sure.
Those are three automatics.
All right, you might miss one, so I'm worried. Go ahead.
You don't have to say Doug. He's
yeah.
None of us put in.
At some point, Fresh might get in. No, go ahead.
Oh man, this is tough. Because like, can we put like three heads on one? Can we do that?
Yes, you can. You
yeah, sure.
Come on, man. You can do whatever you want.
All right, Ty, Dre, and Kyle.
Kyle,
they get one.
Good.
They get one.
A Cerberus of.
All right, now I'm gonna really test you. You're at risk right now.
Okay.
Because you're missing one. And if you watch Twitter at all, Jalen Rose shouted him out today.
Today,
late 80s player,
early 90s. Jersey in the rafters, pictures everywhere.
Assistant coach at ODU.
Not young. Not old, but not young.
Well, if he played late 80s, early 90s, he knows how old he is.
Leading. Yeah, good point. Trey Sport. Leading scorer. All-time leading scorer of Virginia.
His first name's Bryant.
His first name is T.W.'s son's name.
Okay. I played against ODU. I don't know why that didn't register. Like, I played against his son as well. I don't know. Like,
DJ
don't know.
And Brand or both? Either? Or...
Yeah, my freshman year.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely in there. I mean, leading scorer for sure. And then, hold up. I feel like you gotta put TB there though.
Right?
I feel like you almost have to put TB there. I might have to
who's
put
that?
TB?
Oh,
Tony Bennett.
He's still a work in progress. He might get there one day.
Work in progress. Nah, you're not gonna disrespect my guy like that.
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not talking about coaches, then yes, then I'll put Brian Stiff there.
I'll tell you something. Something hit me today, Trey. You might appreciate it or not. So, guys like me, old school guys, I've never seen. We all love our coach. My coach is Jeff Jones, ODU, and Terry mm-hmm. Holland. But all of my guys love Tony Bennett. You know, they like you guys. Fine, you guys are good at basketball. You're mm-hmm. going to the NBA. Fine, but I'm telling you, all my guys that played, and like the real players, the real guys. They love Coach Bennett, man, which is there's really something very telling about that, right?
Yeah.
You won't
for
hear
a guy me. Like a guy like Kenny Turner saying, man, I wish I played for Tony Bennett. You know, nothing against any coach he played for. It's pretty cool, though.
Top five best people I know, 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was going
to all right, all right, ask, all right, Mount Rushmore, Trey, best people you know.
No.
I'm kidding.
So parting words here,
Grandma.
For an incoming now that the transfer market, everyone's coming. And so let's talk to the guy that has Virginia on the list. What is your sort of like words of encouragement? Why pick Virginia? Like what would you say?
Yeah. Great question.
you're going to pick Virginia. Like when you go to Virginia, like you're really like coming into a family. The coaching staff is all built with great people that push you, and everybody has a common goal to win. And if you want to be a professional basketball player and learn how to work and be professional, you're going to go to Virginia. And there's like, people don't understand, like, if you want to make it to the NBA, like once you first get there, you're going to have to play a role. And once you're in the Virginia system, you're going to play a role that is going to be suitable to like your first year in the NBA. And I feel like it really prepares guys for the NBA. And so you see guys like Dre, Ty, and they're all just like flourishing in there. And then Malcolm as well, and Joe, they're all flourishing in their careers. And it's like no coincidence because of the foundation that was set at UVA. And so if you really are like serious about winning and being a professional and being around great people, you're going to choose Virginia because it's the best spot you can go to.
There's your Virginia advertisement.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're going to use that in a commercial and you're not going to get paid.
Not a cent. NIL is going to.
It's like the other side. Why would you not go to Virginia? Like, I don't,
Escalade,
I don't get it anymore.
And like, you want to be like all the social media heads is like, oh, we play so slow. Like, all right, we might play at a slower pace than ever. In all honesty, it's better. I played at a fast pace. I'd be tired. Yeah. Like, and then you don't play defense. Like, you can't play that style of defense and play fast. It's tough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, people just, they'll see social media and, you know, they'll run with like a trend. But like, if you've really watched basketball and really like appreciate like good basketball, you're gonna love Virginia.
Yeah, because the thing that's I think hard to wrap around is everyone's me now, and like TV, this system requires some patience, right? Like you said, you gotta play a role, you gotta dedicate some time, you gotta figure this thing out. I can imagine that's not for everybody. A lot of people aren't ready for that. I don't want to hear that. They're just gonna go to what's a little bit easier and quicker to get your foot in the
easier.
Door.
Easier is a better way to put it.
And how many guys have passed up UVA because they thought they were one and dones, and then after a year they've played somewhere else and now they're in the transfer portal?
A lot of people. It's not for everybody. I'll say that. It's not for everybody. Too.
Yeah, good fair. Way to put it too. That's fair.
We appreciate you. New one and done, Trey Murphy. And you kind of
Trey's our one and done.
Let's hope we get more Trey Murphys for sure, man. We love you. Appreciate you so much jumping on, and we would love to have you come back after the draft when you get settled a little bit, hear how everything went. But we, you know, Wahoo Nation will be watching draft and cheering for you, man.
Thanks excited, for being a hoot,
excited right? for the opportunity, man.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
All right, fans, till next week. That was Locker Room Access.